You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
I just want to introduce this clip that we're about to watch. It's because it's so short. There's a movie called Rat Race that came out probably 20 years ago at this point. And it's about, basically, the short version is, it's about this rich billionaire that brings in other rich billionaires to bet on people running this race to get money out of in Nevada somewhere at this, like, secret locker. And so it's like, if you ever saw it's a mad world where all these people are running to get the money. It's kind of the same idea. And so there's this one particular scene that I want to show. The billionaire just released these five, or I don't know how many people it was. I think it was five groups of people that are normal humans that are trying to run across country to get this money, and the first one gets $1 million, and then unbeknownst to them, the billionaires are betting on it. And this one particular scene, he just released them, and now Rowan Atkinson, aka Mr. Bean, is also beginning his race. So go ahead and watch this clip.
Excuse me, I'm in a race.
What is he doing?
I mean, he's sleeping.
Sleeping?
Well, he must be narcoleptic. It's a rare sleeping disorder.
But I bet on him!
So did I.
$2 million.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. All the bets are locked in.
Sleeping. Sleeping.
So, when you're running a race, you don't want to fall asleep. That's sort of anti-running the race concept for multiple reasons. One, if you're sleeping, you're not running. And, of course, if you're not running, you're not getting anywhere. You're not moving forward. And so in that particular episode or in that show, it's kind of funny in the movie, throughout the race, that's the beginning, he just randomly falls asleep as he keeps going. And that becomes the humor because in a race, you don't fall asleep. But I think there is this thing we came up with at the creative team meeting a couple of months ago. I think we sometimes suffer from spiritual narcolepsy because we have been called to run this race in terms of following Jesus. And we know that this is the race, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And then in the middle of it, we just fall asleep. We stop running the race. And so today we're wrapping up this series called This, looking at the key things, like when you get rid of all the clutter, all the chaos, as you saw in the intro video there, and boil it down, there's just some things that it's about this. This is the issue. These are the things. And the first thing we talk about loving God with everything. Like, that's a key. Get rid of everything else. Love God with everything. And the second week we talk about how Jesus died for you. And how, like, that's important. This is one of the basic things for us to grasp, that Jesus died for us. Does anyone remember what we talked about last week? Because I totally just forgot. Yes. Yeah. This, give your life to God. And we talked about Romans 12, about offering our bodies as worship, everything we do. And so the point that I want us to get today, like, this is, can we turn on the lights here just because I think we need some extra light, some time to process this, because I know that this is extremely difficult to grasp, and it's going to blow your minds, and you'll be like, I am so glad I paid to come today. Okay? Here's the point for this week. It's this. Jesus is all that matters. Jesus is all that matters. And I think it's so easy for us to think, Jesus is all that matters. Yes, I'm here on Sunday morning. This is how I feel. And then we walk out of there, and we're like, what? I think he kind of matters. He sort of matters. He maybe matters. Maybe we do that intentionally. Maybe we do that unintentionally, where we're like, you know what? We miss it. And all of a sudden, on this race, on this journey of following Jesus, we fall asleep. And so I want to look at this passage that Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to be here in Philippians 3 for a while. So if you have the YouVersion app, you can open to Philippians 3. We're going to be actually bouncing around from different parts of chapter 3 there. But it's kind of the end of the summary statement. Paul says this. He says, I focus on this one thing. He keeps it simple. I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. See, Paul says, here's what I'm focusing on. This is it. This is the one thing. It's about running the race, forgetting what's behind, and just moving forward. This is what I'm focusing on. I'm not focusing on all these other different things. I'm not focusing on these issues. I'm focusing on running the race. And so he basically says that Jesus is all that matters. Like, it's all about Jesus. That's the goal. That's the one thing. And we're talking about the Apostle Paul here. We're talking about a guy that met Jesus on the road to Damascus, right? Yeah, on the road to Damascus. God appeared in a light, and Jesus said, hey, it's me. My translation. And so this is about 25 years after that moment. So Paul has been following Jesus for a long time. Paul is actually writing this from prison. He's planted multiple churches. And so here's a guy that's lived this kind of an incredible life. And he says, even now, this is what matters. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is all that matters. And so because Jesus is all that matters, there's some things that we need to do, that he needs to do, and he encourages the church at Philippi to do. He says, because Jesus is all that matters, don't look back. Don't look back. Our past doesn't matter. And so again, looking at that kind of focus verse there of Philippians 3, he says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Now, if we back up a few verses to verses 7 and 9, this is what Paul writes. He says, I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, everything is worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, for his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. The Greek word here is, this is a nice sanitized translation. The Greek word means dung, means poo. I consider everything else in this life, compared to Jesus, I consider it like poo. So that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. So let's just hang out there for a second. So Paul says, I once thought these things were valuable. If you read even earlier in the passage, Paul basically says, look, y'all think you're spiritual. You think you are good followers of God. You think you are good Israelite Jewish people. He says, dude, I can beat you all on that. I was a Pharisee. I was the leader. I persecuted the church. I followed God's rules to the letter. I did everything the right way. And if you look at Paul's pedigree, like he did everything. He was, before Jesus changed his life, he was perfect. In quotes. He was perfect. And he says, and once upon a time, I thought these things were valuable. He says, once upon a time, those things mattered to me. He says, but now they're like poo compared to Jesus. And so when it comes, if Jesus is all that matters, when it comes to running this race, we have to forget what's behind us. And of course, we've talked about this multiple times. I know we talked about it during the Spiral Bound series a couple of times, about our bad past, the negative things, the mistakes we've made, and how God is bigger than that. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we said that Jesus died for you. Like, he died while we were sinners. But here, Paul isn't as much talking about his negative things. He's talking about his good things. He's talking about his good past. And how often do we go, oh, well, I did that. I did that thing that one time. I gave a lot of money to that. I'm good. I showed up to church somewhat regularly. I was in a prime group. Or whatever that looks like. And we look at our past and we say, yeah, I did that. And then we stop. We're like, yeah, I'm following Jesus. You know what? I did do that thing that I needed to. And we stop running the race. And Paul says, forget your past. What you did yesterday doesn't matter. What are you doing today? That's what matters. No matter how good or incredible you think you were yesterday, that doesn't matter. It's a matter. What matters is right now. And this attitude creeps in that, oh, we've already done enough. Oh, I've been following Jesus for plenty. Oh, I've served long enough. And we get into this attitude where our past is, that's good enough. I think I'm going to stop because of what I've done already. And Paul's like, dude, you think you've got it. I've got a past. And my past is way better than your past. And I consider that poo compared to Jesus. So the first thing is that we don't look back because our past doesn't matter. The second thing is that we need to focus on the goal. Focus on the goal. So here we are in this moment where we should don't get distracted. It's so easy for us. We're following Jesus and we're like, okay, yeah, my past doesn't matter. And we keep going and then we're like, oh, wait, what's this over here? And when you run a race, I mean, I'm not a track athlete, but I'm pretty sure the coaches of the track team say, look forward towards the finish line, not around over here. And certainly not waving the mom in the stands. Hi! Like, when you are running a race, you focus on the goal. You focus on getting to the end. And when we run this race in terms of following Jesus, we get distracted so easily. We're like, yes, this is the moment. I'm following Jesus. And then, you know, something happens. You get cut off in traffic. You get angry. All of a sudden, you forget about Jesus. And you're all about, I'm going to tail that person and follow them for the next 6 blocks and show them how ticked off I am. Did they cut me off in traffic? Oh, wait, Jesus, right. We get into this, like, this. We totally get distracted. And Paul says, don't get distracted. How do we avoid getting distracted? We focus on the goal. We focus on what's in front of us. We focus on the goal of Jesus. And so Paul says, again, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Looking forward to what lies ahead. And again, jumping up a few verses earlier in that, Paul says this. After he says everything is worthless compared to knowing Jesus, he says, I want to know Christ. That's what he wants. I want to know Christ. And this word know doesn't mean just like I've got a lot of head knowledge. And we'll even talk about it in a moment. It's this idea of experience. Like, I want to know Jesus. And so if we want to avoid getting distracted, we need to focus on the goal. And the goal is knowing Jesus. And so we need to say, every moment of our lives, everything that we do, is what I'm doing right now helping me to know Jesus. We'll come to that, but to be like him. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, this is what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on Jesus. He is the goal before me. And if we get distracted, we miss the goal and we end up somewhere else. I mean, like, it's as simple as a wrong turn. I don't know if you've ever been going somewhere. You make the wrong turn. Last spring, a year ago, we were going to the Ford Edge Banquet in New York, in downtown New York City, or in Queens, or whatever that place is called. And we had to take the train. So we took Amtrak from here, Lewistown, took the train to Penn Station, downtown Manhattan, and then we went over to the commuter rail lines, and like, I'm a city boy, but I'm apparently not city enough, because like, this train goes to these, first of all, you had to find the line. Okay, we want the green line. This is this line that we wanted, none of the other lines. But then on the green line, this train goes to stops 1, 5, and 7. That train goes to stops 2, 3, and 9. This train just goes to stop 15. This train goes to every stop. And we're on a train. We got it out and sat down, and they're like, bing. We're like, oh, good. Okay, this is going exactly where we want to go. And I leaned forward. And we had our luggage and everything. We had our suits and dresses and stuff. And just one suit, one dress. Anyway, I said to the guy in front of us, I said, excuse me, is this train going to that? He said, oh, no, this is the moderate express train. It skips every fourth stop. And we're like, what? And we looked at the thing, and sure enough, it would have gone past where we wanted. So we quickly grabbed our stuff, and literally the doors closed behind us as we got off of the train. We're like, whew, okay, and then we found the right train. But it's something as simple as that, just a quick distraction. If we had stayed on that train, just stepped in the wrong spot, we would have been somewhere else that we did not want to be. And distractions work like that. And the way we avoid distractions is focusing on the goal, focusing on Jesus, focusing on knowing Him. That is how we avoid spiritual narcolepsy. That's how we avoid falling asleep when we're supposed to be running this race that Jesus has marked out for us, this course that He has for us, this goal of becoming more like Jesus. So in this, you know, the goal is to be more like Jesus, not successful. Success isn't the goal. Rich. Riches. Being rich isn't the goal. Having more money. Having enough money, by the way, you never do. Having enough money isn't the goal. Being a better athlete isn't the goal. Being popular. Being well-liked. That's not the goal. Being happy. You be you. That's not the goal. Having finally enough time to relax and rest. That's not the goal. Jesus is the goal. Jesus is all that matters. And so because Jesus is all that matters, we need to focus on the goal. The third thing that He says we need to do is to keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Because it is easy. I mean, come on. This has been a hard time. This has been a hard few months, a hard year. Like, I've never been more excited about New Year's than I have. And that's stupid because it doesn't mean, like, suddenly God's like, oh, it's a new year. Now I'll change everything. But just, can we be done, right? And it's so easy to get discouraged and get down. And Paul says, no, we press on. We keep going. And that's what he says in the last part of that focus verse. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. I press on to reach the end of the race. And he says, when I reach the end of the race, I'll receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. God is calling us on this race. God is calling you on this race. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to race. And he says, I want to press on to reach the end, to get the prize. And we're going to talk about the prize next month in our The End series, where we're looking at end times and what does that mean. So we'll talk about what Paul is referring to here. But he says, I press on. I keep going. And again, here's the guy that's been following Jesus for 25 years. Jesus appeared to him in a miraculous way on the road to Damascus. He has been a part of healing people. He has planted churches. He's a guy that you'd be like, well, anybody's got it together. Paul's got it together. And he says, I have to press on too. I have to push. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not fun. And so he says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved all these things or that I've already reached perfection. He's honest. He says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Jesus first possessed me. He says, I want Jesus. I want to go after Jesus the way Jesus went after me. I want to want Jesus the way Jesus wants me. I press on. And then he says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, which then takes us full circle back to what we were talking about. He says, because Jesus is all that matters, we don't look back, we focus on the goal, and we keep going. And in races, you get sore, you get tired. Sometimes you don't have the energy to keep going. Sometimes you're thirsty. Sometimes you hit the wall, they call it, that spot where it's kind of, you have to push through. But you keep going. Like, I keep pointing to Alexis, but I can't imagine someone like, yeah, I'm on the track team, and about, like, you know, I don't know, like 10, 15 meters, and like, this is too much, I'm out. It's only a 50-meter dash. I don't care. It's too hard. I told you, we were watching this show about people being stranded on this deserted island. And I'm telling you, this one guy, like, they pull the boat up to the shore, and you have to jump out and swim to shore, and then you begin your next 4 or 6 weeks stranded on this island and all that. And this guy, and they knew what they were signed up for. This guy jumps out of the water, gets to the shore, and is like, I can't do this anymore. This is too hard. I'm not kidding you. And it was this whole, like, the whole team had to stop because this guy couldn't handle that. And he had 6 weeks to go. You keep going. You don't stop. And here's the thing. Following Jesus is not always easy. If you think it's always easy, you're misunderstanding what Jesus said. It's not always fun. It's not always happy, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. Because because Jesus is all that matters. And that's the point that I want us to get today. It's about this, that Jesus is all that matters. None of the other stuff matters. And I know sometimes we intentionally pursue things we shouldn't. Sometimes we unintentionally pursue things that we shouldn't. But can we just get into our head, even somewhere hidden in the back there, that Jesus is all that matters. Because we are in this race. And we don't want to fall asleep. We want to run to win. And so I just want to ask a question, and kind of you're going to have a chance in your prime groups this week to really chew on this a little bit more, especially because of time. I'm going to go a little bit faster. But the question is, do you really want to win? Like, oh yeah, I'm all about Jesus because I want him to give me stuff. And I'm all about Jesus when I'm having health problems because I want him to come through. I'm all about Jesus when I'm struggling financially because I need him to come through. But are we all about Jesus all the time? Is Jesus all that matters to you? And that raises the question, is do you really want to win? Not really. I'm okay with winning when I need something. And so I just want to share a few things that Paul points out here in this verse we just looked at. In Philippians 3, verse 10. The first thing is that knowing Christ... Oh, go back. Knowing Christ takes work. It takes work. And I'm not talking about earning your salvation. I'm not talking about doing enough good. And we've talked about this so many times, I'm not even going to say it again. But that you have to earn your way to God. But when we are following God, it's going to take work. It's going to require us to do some things that are hard. Paul says, I want to know Christ. And that word know and that idea of understanding and grasping, it's not just I sit back on my couch and Christ suddenly knows me, which he knows you intimately already. But to know Christ is going to require work. It's going to take effort to read and study your Bible. You're going to have to wake up to do that. You're going to have to set an alarm to do that. That's work. For me, that's a lot of work, getting up early. You're going to have to get up and come to worship or get up in time to turn on the live stream. That's work. You're going to have to do that. If you want to follow Christ, take the steps to do it. It's going to take effort to set aside time each week to be a part of a prime group. That takes effort. That takes rescheduling. That takes pre-prioritizing some things and say, you know what, that's not as important. That money, that job isn't as important. Those sports aren't as important because prime groups are important. It's going to take effort to do that. It's going to take effort to stop just doing and doing and doing so that you can stop and have a moment to pray, to have some time to pray. Like, these things require work and effort. And if somebody told you, follow Jesus and everything's going to be easy and it'll all happen for you and you'll be rich and everything will be wonderful, like, that's just not true. It's going to take some work. It's called spiritual disciplines. It's called taking the action to grow in Jesus. So just realize that. If you really want to win, if you really want to be a part of this race, it's going to take some work. The second thing is that if you really want to win, you need to understand that experiencing Christ's power takes faith. Paul says in the second part of that verse, he says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power. Did we freeze again? Okay, good. Experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know him, but I also want to experience power that raises people from the dead. And that's kind of crazy power. I've been to a lot of funerals, and not once have I seen anyone raised from the dead. And let's be honest, if that happened, we would all freak out, because that is crazy power. And Paul says, I want to experience that kind of power. And if you and I want to experience that kind of power like Paul does, it's going to take faith. Because when we step back and stay safe, we're never going to be in a spot where God needs to come through. We're never going to be in a position where suddenly we're like, whoa, if I hadn't done that, I would never have seen Jesus do that. It's going to take some faith. It's going to take stepping out. If we want to see God show up in a big way, we need to step out in a big way. And maybe that's financially. Maybe you take a big risk because you feel God is calling you to do this financially, and you step out and you're like, I have no idea how we're going to pay for this. And then God shows up and you go, wow, that is the power of Jesus. Maybe it's reaching out to a family member or a friend or a coworker and telling them about Jesus. And you're like, they're going to hate me. And you're like, no, I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, thank you. I've been waiting for someone to explain this thing to me. Wow. There's the power. That if we want to see his power, we need to take steps of faith. Do you want more of Jesus? Then stop playing it safe and let Jesus show up for you. And I think that is across the board. Like, oh, how come you have so much trust and how can you see God do great things? Like, well, when you step out and you see him come through, then you're like, I'm stepping out again. This is fun. I remember when my pop-up made me get on the Lightning Loops roller coaster, Great Adventure, Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey. And I was scared to death. But my at that time he was probably in his 60s, my 60-year-old grandfather was like, hey, I was in World War II, you can get on this roller coaster, son. And so, you know, I remember getting in line, and then of course the climb, and like, this is going to be awful. I'm dead. This is it. And then going through the loops and experiencing exhilaration, I'm like, can we get back in line? Can we do it again? And that's what Paul is talking about, like that kind of power. Like, we're scared to death. Yes, no question. But when we see God come through, we get this exhilaration. We're like, yes, that is power. That is something that I will never experience by playing it safe. That is something I will never experience by making sure everything is lined up my way so I've got it figured out. Sometimes we need to step out and God comes through in a crazy big way and we're like, wow, that is amazing. And that's what Paul says. I want to experience that power. And to experience Christ's power takes faith. And again, in your primaries, you'll have a chance to chew on this a little bit more. And the third thing, if we really want to win this race, if we really want to reach the goal of Jesus, the third thing is that it is going, that suffering with Christ takes humility. And this is the thing that we don't want to talk about. This is the part that we're kind of like, can we just, when we talk about that part? Because this is what Paul says. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes. Experience the mighty power raised him from the dead. And I want to... So that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Like, we want to ignore the part here that sometimes if we're following Jesus, it's going to require suffering. It's going to require pain. And Paul says, if we really want to know Jesus, if you really want to get it, if you want to understand it, if you want to experience him, it's going to require suffering. And suffering requires humility. Because we can't just say, nope, I'm above this, I'm not going to go through this, I'm not going to deal with this, I'm better than you, whatever that looks like. If we're willing to say, you know what, I'm willing to submit, I'm willing to suffer here so that I can experience what Jesus went through. I mean, look at the cross. Look at what Jesus went through for us and the humility that was required there. And so it's just, we really want to win. It's going to require some suffering. And suffering is going to require that humility. We're going to have to step back and be like, okay, this isn't fun. This is kind of painful. But I'm willing to do it. And we have to expect it, frankly. I mean, this is the three things that Paul says. I want to know Christ. I want to experience his power. Next slide. And I want to suffer with him. And suffering is going to require that humility. And if we really want to win, we're going to have to come to the spot where we're okay with that. Where we can live with the pain. We can work through it and say, okay, God, this is tough, but I need you to be here with me. Jesus, I wrote here, willingly submitted himself on the cross for us. And that was humility that led to suffering. And if we are always trying to avoid suffering, we can miss out on it. I remember... Kendra's grandmother passed away a couple of years ago, and there was a comment in that they would always talk about with older people, like spending all this money and time and effort trying to do everything they can to avoid heaven, and just that suffering is okay, and going through the pain is okay because there's something better awaiting them, and now she's with Jesus, worshiping for eternity. But if we are always trying to keep things safe, and we're going to miss out on some opportunities to grow. And I think some of our biggest times of growth, I know for me, they don't come when I'm at the top. They come when I'm in the valley, when I'm desperate for God. And so we need to be willing to accept suffering, not avoiding it and saying, okay, God, you stepped into suffering for me. I'm willing to step into suffering for you. If we really want to win, this is what it's going to take. Because Jesus is all that matters. Jesus is all that matters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your humility, your son's humility in dying for us on a cross. taking our sin, taking our pain, taking all of it to demonstrate, well, first to save us, to give us hope for eternity, but as an example of what it looks like to be like you. And if we call ourselves followers of Jesus, God, I pray that you would help us to look like Jesus in the way we know you, in the way we understand and we work in growing in you. And that we would look like you the way we step out in faith and see you come through in a powerful way. And may we look like you in our suffering. May we humble ourselves enough to suffer as you did. Not looking for pain, not self-harm, but being willing to submit in a moment to say, I want to be like Jesus. Help us to run this race. Help us to run this race with endurance and to keep going, not get distracted, not fall asleep, so that when we get to the end, we can say what Paul says, that we want to receive the prize. The prize for what you have called us to do in living this life of following Jesus. We just pray that, God. I pray that you would help us in the back of our minds to remember that Jesus is all that matters. It's in his name we pray. Amen.